am making it a mission to watch all of the different Titanic, because there's like one from the 30s, the 50s. Even in the 90s, there was like a miniseries starring the big eyebrows guy from American Beauty.
There's the musical that was on Broadway.
Titanic.
That's right.
Oh, no, that's a different one. There's an official Titanic musical, and then there's Titanic.
Then there's the parody. Okay.
Yeah. And then there's Titan, right?
Oh, Titan. Exactly. Titan, yeah. It's a bit of a different twist on it.
And then there's Titan AD.
Yeah. The Adventures of Titanic.
Titanic.
Remember the Titans.
It's like, it is that kind of Ed Wood thing of like just using like stock footage or whatever you can get your hands on to like make it like something happen, you know, just to like put it together and just make it exist.
Which is beautiful. That's how you paint too. That's painting. That's art.
It's like Ed Wood, but it's also, this has the DNA of like the Fensler film G.I. Joe PSAs, though, also, where it's just the redubs that happened in the late 90s.
Pork chop sandwiches,
Pork chop sandwiches. Yeah, just like looping shit and, like, cutting back to weird reaction shots that don't make any sense in context. And you're like, huh,
It's kind of Harvey Birdman-y.
Oh, yeah, it's creating new context.
Yeah, and, like, how they used all the different animation, like, previous animations from different things and like just put them together in different contexts and was like, here's a whole new story.
This movie is criticized. Camilo Tetti should have been hired by Adult Swim, seemingly.
And again, like, that's something we did on Batman all the time. We would take like reaction shots and then like place them somewhere else, and it's like, obviously in live action you can do that super easily, animation is not that way. So it's like, there is a lot of stuff watching this where I was like, okay, so they're stealing that, but then they're putting a bit of different background behind, and then that's kind of clever. Like, there is like, they tried at certain points in the movie to like have some semblance of like a 180 rule and like having context for spatial, like where characters are and stuff. Not a lot.
It is, you know what, this movie, it is cut like crazy, the 60-minute version. And the 80-minute version is the same story that doesn't feel wildly paced differently, because what you get in Breathing Room is effectively, I don't know, was it Italian, was it not? What I do know is in the 80-minute version, half the characters are doing like the chosen one, wee-woo-wee-woo-wee-woo-wee bit from Kung Pao, are just like filling time of mouth moving with like, we have to get over here is where we go, here, there.
But you get a movie, that movie's perfect example of like really creating filler and creating new stuff in context, you know?
In a way, it's really just Italy being like, the Americans are always talking about how they want their movies to be green. We'll just recycle all these shots over and over again. Like, yeah, the movie's just ethical.
But that is the thing. And you know, I don't want to keep referencing other episodes. Listen now, Spotify, Apple, everywhere. Our first episode, like, there is a level of like punk rockedness to this that I love. Our first episode, Strike Commando, a very similar but live action movie that is just like a collage of scenes from like 80s American action movies, ends with Red Brown being like, oh, did you catch plagiarism? Well, great job, jerk off motion.
I was shocked that the sequence where the mouse tries to get the food in the kitchen for the party, because in the 60-minute version, the mouse shows up and the chef is already attacking him. And I was like, okay, that must have been cut down a bit. And then I watched it, and the answer is not really. No. He kind of walks out of the vent, and the chef comes around the corner as if to know that he's already there to attack him. And I was like, this
incredible. It's been a long time, but the Little Mermaid chef scene has eggs falling on his head and like cooking, right?
Too. That scene is for sure taken.
Yeah, we're just missing a song.
It's like how Turkish movies used to have, like, whoever was the sound designer was just the guy who had the record collection.
Yes, yeah,
And they would just do needle drops of, like, the Indiana Jones theme song, like, in the middle of a movie with, like, Kunyan Arkin just, like, punching rocks and shit. It's like, this movie was just like, okay, the editor is or the animator is just whoever had the biggest VHS collection of animated movies that they could watch and trace at the same time. They just put, they had a TV, they had a VCR that did one frame at a time, when those were like $900, and they're like, sick.
Oh, God, it's so great.
So, the thing I was starting to say earlier, and I don't know if we'll have an answer to this, but the 80-minute version, at least on YouTube, looks better.
Yeah,
and I don't
know really? Yes, look at it.
But I don't know if it's, but it doesn't look like it's a particularly higher quality like export. It just, there's more details in the animation. Like it looks like they recolor.
It seems like a truly different, because I kind of like went through like the two of them just to see like, is it just like an export thing or like an upload thing? And it was like, no, like there's little, because this is like the whole job on like, I spent a year of my life just like looking at pixels for this kind of stuff. And it is like, if you really look at it, it's like, oh, that background is totally different, or that like character's wearing like a different color like dress or whatever.
Or
it's
they
like,
colored it different and they blew it out for
so
the
much more
for the,
vibrant.
It's
the Tommy Wiseau thing when they had a VHS tape and a 35mm camera like just pointing at the subject at the same time.
But it was crazy because I was like, wait, this, it kind of looks better. The cheap animation is still there, but there is a bit of that like, sort of like a Johnny Quest style, like backgrounds and moments where you're like, oh, somebody like spent some fucking time on this background.
Yeah. I disagree. I actually think the more cruddy one looks better because it's like, I'm able to forgive it a little more of like, oh, well that was low budget. That's okay. But then when I see the high res one, I'm like, okay, come on, that's no excuse.
They had talent working.
Yeah, exactly. You guys clearly had the resources.
Yeah,
it seems like the lower res, it's like, okay.
On this high res version. Like, I'm sorry, we had time for shading?
Yeah. In all ways, the like VH, it smooths it all out. The like low, whatever quality of it smooths it all out, and the pace in a storytelling way. Also, it smooths it all out. It like the pace of that ending almost creates the notion that this movie considers what's happening to the people on the Titanic a tragedy.
Yeah. A little more gravity to it.
The longer version does not give you that feeling. does not deliver.
It's even more brazen.
Well,
oh my God.
I mean, to be fair, only 43 of the 2,200 passengers were Italian, so who cares?
Yeah.
Some fun facts that I read in the comment section for this upload was, one, there was only one Mexican passenger on board the Titanic. He died.
Speedy Gonzalez. Mm.
And and there were three dogs that did survive. There were like 12 dogs altogether. Three dogs survived.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Rest in mucho pisto.
I'm like curious about this Matt McGuire, or whoever, the guy who's credited as director and music composer at the end of the 60-minute version.
I saw they got like Liz Galloway to sing the like, the Heart Will Go On ripoff, and she's actually like, she's the singing voice
Calloway?
Of Anastasia. Yeah.
Wait, whoa.
Singing voice of Anastasia and Jasmine and like the nanny theme song. It's like they got her to sing like the My Heart Will Go On ripoff.
I did not catch that was her.
Never,
oh my God.
Go?
You didn't watch all 14 minutes of credits then.
You're right.
IMDb trivia says that this is Mickey Knox's final film, having been in movies like The Godfather Part 3 and The Tenth Victim.
Wow.
Here he plays Sam, and if you can tell me who the fuck Sam is, then you probably already know more about the rest of this movie because you've got to be a fucking detective. Like... Detective Bradbury.
Sorry,
Sam to his friends.
Sam Bradbury.
I do need to shout out maybe one of my favorite lines in the history of cinema, which is when it cuts to just the movie Titanic, right? For a second, but sped up. Like this movie, at a certain point, this movie becomes Titanic on fast forward. And there's the two sailors in the crow's nest. And one of them goes, "Look at that!
What, you never seen mist before?
That's not just ice."
And that line could have been so normal if the accent of the second guy was just on a slightly different word. But what? Have you never seen this before? Is so funny. Why did you hit this?
And the editing that goes with it, where like we as the viewer don't see the iceberg until after he says, it's like, shit, how'd you miss that?
Yeah.
Gigantic freaking iceberg.
Well, it's the allusion to, like, yes, it's like we have seen the Titanic before. Yeah. You know?
Anytime.
He's kind of talking to the audience, like, you guys know how this goes.
In the 80 minute, is that one of the ones where they spike the camera? What? You've never seen
it's like
this?
The wink to camera.
No,
yeah.
No, you know what happens in the 80 minute that doesn't happen in this? In this 60 minute movie, that Cockney crow's nest guy is like, left rudder. And in the 80 minute version, he goes, left rudder, right rudder, which would be going straight. Which would be not a change.
Because there's also a thing in the boiler room where it's like, you alluded to it, but it's like they're like shoveling water into the coal. I'm like, I don't know if that
into
would.
Into the coal, into the
yeah,
like coal.
I don't
coal
think that would help the scenario.
80 of the same person. Yeah. They are all the same character design, and I love it so much.
Which again, we do in actual big budget animations. We'll take like an extra, make them smaller, flip them, put them in the background, put them at a different part of the motion so you can't tell. And it's like, no one notices. You
filmmaking
know?
Is beautiful.
My absolute favorite part of that was at the very beginning when the animals are loading onto the boat. In the background, humans also like going across a gangway or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they have like six people that do it and they just loop them. Like, and it's
fuck yeah.
So obvious because they're all distinct people with it's not like, oh, these are just people and they kind of like zhuzh it or whatever. They literally just take the same six people, do it over again. Like they don't change any single thing about it. And if I notice it on the first time I watch it, that means you fucked it up. If you see the boom mic in frame the first time you watch the movie, that's a problem.
Yeah. Seeing a boom mic in an animated film as well of like, I feel like you kind of got to draw that out.
Yeah.
That truly could have been fixed in post.
Another one of the things I missed in the cut down version was when Will like leads the steerage folks up into the captain's quarters or whatever in the first
right.
movie. Can't go through this way. Don't force me to resort to violence.
Must let us by. It's our only chance. The other way is filling up with water.
All right. Women and children only.
The first mate goes, you can't come through here. Don't make me use violence. In the 80-minute version, they repeat that three times.
What?
They cut
what?
To... They open the door. The first mate goes,
you can't go through this way. Don't force me to resort to violence.
They cut to the crowd kind of murmuring. They cut to him again.
You can't go through this way. Don't force me to resort to violence.
Then they, Will kind of pushes through. Then they cut to him again. This time they go,
don't force me to resort to violence. You can't go through this way.
they mix it up. Yeah.
So funny.
That comes from the House of the Dead to School of Screenwriting.
Yeah.
Because I did think we were going to have a Folgers coffee moment with William and Angelica through most of this movie.
What does that mean?
Like, yeah, please explain this to people that don't understand
the
reference.
You know the old Folgers Christmas commercial where the brother and sister clearly want to fuck each other? You know this one.
I don't know if I do. I'll have to look this up.
Know
okay.
This one.
Oh my God.
It's incredible.
Yes,
yo, Maine had some crazy shit.
Yeah, you just gotta look up Folgers brother and sister, and they have this moment where like he comes home from like serving in Africa or something.
Brought you something from far away.
Really? Oh.
And his sister puts the little bow on him and goes,
you're my present this year.
And then they make uncomfortably long eye contact.
For far too long.
Let's get
long.
Something to keep us up all night. Yeah.
But yeah, like, it was not made clear that when William kept calling this old woman Nanny, that she was not biologically related to him. And then it kind of clued in, but then they 180'd it again, where she's like, I raised him like my own son. And I'm like,
So technically, you know, yeah. It's like a reverse Royal Tenenbaums.
I gave him all the love I wanted to give you. Is what
awesome.
The idea of there only being, at the eventual wedding, there's only one side of the aisle is unfortunate. Yeah. That's incredible.
It's like, will the groom's mom come out? Yes. All right, now go back. All right, now will the bride's mom.
Just her power walking back down the aisle.
Mother, son, mother, daughter dance. It's all
the same. It's all one big dance.
It's just all three of them
swear. They stand in a circle. Heal me.
Never let me go.
Can I say one story about Olive Garden?
Yeah.
God, yeah. So, there was ever an episode where we should go off on an Olive Garden tangent.
I've known my wife for 12 years. We met in film school.
Congrats.
Boo.
Yeah. But I remember hanging out with a friend of hers once, and she told me a story about Laura that was her and Laura went to Olive Garden. And after the meal, my wife like pulls the waiter aside and is like, "Can you please pass my compliments to the chef?" And that was the moment I knew I was going to marry this woman.
Oh, wow.
Because you know that guy has never heard that from anyone at that restaurant.
As he's plopping,
plopping the frozen bag of like fettuccine.
Into
it's like,
a microwave.
Hey, this like 20-year-old Latino woman just wants to say you did a great job at microwaving this.
And then a single tear rolled down his face. He's like, turned to camera 8 times.
Just like the old country.
Yeah. He looks up at a picture, like a sepia toned, like wrinkled photo of his grandfather dumping tortellinis into a microwave.
You did it, Antonio. You made it to the new world.
Video high.
Simple Equations Podcast Network.